talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m., and if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests provide advice, resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Now, our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. So you have to tune into every single show. Well, actually, no, you can go to the website and see who's coming up, but Now, if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. If you're listening to us now, you are on the LA Talk Radio website. So all you have to do is click the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. You scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and click the link. And this will take you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of all of our past guests, and you can pick the one that you want. Our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. So you just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and it'll take you right there. Now, as I said earlier, if you want to find out about the future guests, you want to go to the official Question Reality website, and that address is questionrealityshow.com. QuestionRealityShow.com. And we have, as we do every week, we have a fantastic, incredible, spectacular, miraculous guest on the show today. I do not have anyone less than that. And her name is, and I love this name, this is a star name if I've ever heard one, Laquita Cleary. Woo! Laquita Chiquita is what I like to call her. She is an actress, a producer, a dancer, among many things, and she is here with us today. I want you to check her website out so you can kind of follow us along. LaquitaCleary.com. That's LaquitaCleary.com. LaquitaCleary.com. Okay, so check that out while we're talking. We're going to go into a little advertisement today. Now, exciting news on the advertisement front for our show. We have they're registering. You know, I bring up a lot of Actors Creative Workshop because it's a fantastic venue for actors to go do a workshop and really get seen by some of the top casting directors. My advice to actors, you'll want to get an agent. You don't have one. You'll want to be seen. You'll want to get called in. Even if you're non-union, some of these casting workshops, they will require an audition, most of them, but some of them, you probably don't want to go to ones that just say, okay, come on in. But most of them require an audition, and they have the top casting people, and you go there, you do a scene, and the casting directors, they have to do what's called an omission statement. So they have to say, well, you're not here to be hired. We don't promise anything. And that's true. They don't. But it's really good to be seen by these casting directors. Speaking of which, there's a wonderful place called Actors Creative Workshop. You've heard me mention them before. And they are currently having Samantha Stiglitz come. She is with Zane Pillsbury Casting. And this is one of the busiest casting offices in town. If you are a regular working actor, you will see Zane Pillsbury a lot. They are so busy with pilots this year that they actually had to schedule this class at 8 o'clock instead of 7:30 to make sure Samantha can make it on time because she is booking all the way till the very end. Now, this is a pilot season intensive workshop, because you know pilot season's coming up. Pilot season intensive. It's going to be 4 Thursdays starting at 8 o'clock, and the first one starts on January the 27th. January 27th. And the next one is February the 3rd. The next one is February 10th. And the last one is on February 17th. $225. You can email to register. And they also have what I think is cool, payment options, because $225 is a lot of money for some actors. So what's really great is that you can set up a payment plan. And the email address is info, I-N-F-O, at actorscreativeworkshop.com. actorscreativeworkshop.com. Now, just to tell you a little bit about this particular class, it has a bit of everything. One night, you're going to be paired up and given sides to show off your cold reading and your listening skills. But that's not all, because another night, you're going to bring in your own scene so that you can show Samantha what you can do. And when you have basically, she wants to see what you can do when you have more time to prepare. And so there you get the best of both worlds. And Samantha's going to share her advice on what headshots, resumes should look like, how best to represent yourself in the audition room, the current trends in casting, because you know they always change. Now, a little bit about Samantha. She loves actors. You know, if you're an actor, sometimes you run into casting people that they act like they hate you. I don't know what it is. They seem bitter, and they give you the eye, and they make you feel awkward. And she loves actors, and you can feel that when you meet her. So when it comes to booking a job, she knows the importance of delivering results in the audition room and really wants to help you shine where it counts, which is in that audition room. And she knows what they want to see. She's worked in film, TV, including Pretty Little Liars, which is a new show on ABC Family, Hawthorne, one of my favorite shows, The Deep End, Final Destination 5, and just a ton of others. I couldn't even start to list them. But she's currently working as an associate for Zane Pillsbury Casting on a hit one-hour drama that's coming back for its second season. And if you want to check out her, you know, she's on IMDb, just like most of the casting people are. Again, Samantha Stiglitz, Samantha Stiglitz. So she has all of her credits listed there. And again, acting Actors Creative Workshop is bonded in their license. And as I said earlier, a workshop is not a job interview or an audition. The presence of a casting director, agent, or manager is neither a guarantee nor a promise of employment. So it's just solely educational. But that's how you're seen in front of casting directors, if you want to know. So here we are. We're back to Laquita Cleary. Oh, that sounds good. Oh, my God. I got to do a voiceover. Laquita hails from the lovely, windy city of Chicago, and she began doing theater and dance as a child. And she's been in many stage productions, ranging from Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing to an all-female version of Glengarry Glen Ross. I would have loved to have seen that. That sounds awesome. A bunch of women doing that play. Since she's been in LA, she's appeared in TV, film, and commercials, and she can currently be seen in the film Sister's Keeper with Eric Roberts. Oh my goodness, right now I'm watching Eric Roberts. I love that man. I am a reality television fanatic, and I am currently watching Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, and Eric is on there. And I'm like, you go, Eric. I love that man. I really do. I don't know what it is. I've always liked him. I actually like him better than his sister, and that's a whole nother story. But I like him. I always thought that there was something about him that I really liked. Like, he's very real and down to earth. Now, Laquita is also a lead in the film Suicide Dolls with Anne Marie Johnson. I used to watch her on JAG. I love her. Heather Tom, Christy Carlson Romano, and Stephen Bauer. Jack Bauer's brother. No, not even related. There is no real Jack Bauer. Stephen Bauer. The film has played several film festivals, including the St. Louis Film Festival, where it won the New Filmmakers Forum, the American Black Film Festival, and South Africa International Film Festival. And the film will have an upcoming screening in Los Angeles at the Pan-African Film Festival. So you can go see it, have fun, and meet LaQuerre. So you're going to have to go to her website, email her, and say, oh, can I come see it? The film was produced by the production company Salsera Productions, which is a company that LaQuerre formed to create work for her and others to bring more character-driven stories to the screen. So her company has also produced projects, including a web series called, now I love this title, Secret Fridays. Do we not love that? That sounds like you're having an affair and you're going off and you're going to get chocolates and you're going to have red silk sheets. I love that. That's what it just brings to mind to me. I don't know. It is available for purchase on Amazon.com, and the company currently also has two projects in development, one which will be filmed in March, and she can be seen in news articles, both in print and online, most recently in a spread in the popular Chicago paper, The Daily Herald. And as if she doesn't have enough to do in her free time, she's also a salsa and tango dancer. My God, this woman must be a Leo to get all this done. I knew that, right? So, hey, welcome, LaQuerre. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? You were so much fun the last time. You were one of my first guests in 2008 when I first started the program. And you were just so awesome. And you gave such great advice. And I remember getting emails with people saying, oh, you got to have her back on the show. She gave such good advice. But you have been such a busy little bee, I had to wait years to get you back. My God, it's like you're an A-list celebrity here on our show.
I wish. Soon, Priscilla, soon.
You are just an awesome person. You're such an inspiration. I know that I truly love reading your Facebook updates and just finding out all of the stuff that's going on with you. You are truly an inspiration to people who have come out here and just said, can I ever make it? And I know that after college, you had this ambitious plan. From reading the article, you wanted to move to LA, attend law school, and while working to become a successful actress. Now that right away went red flag, because that's crazy. But you know, that's you. You are all about, I want my plate full. I want the shit hanging over. I want food just falling off my damn plate. I want my cup overflowing. That's just you. And that's why you have become so successful. So my question is, but when you moved to Hollywood in 2004, you discovered, a lot like many other people, that finding work was a full-time job in itself. And your quote was, you said that you found out that you can't do acting and also do something else. That was your quote. And it seems like an obviously clear statement, but it has a meaning for everyone. So my question to you is, what did you mean when you made that remark?
Well, for me, and I don't mean obviously people have to work, because you know, a lot of people, it's like you're not making money, so you have to do other things. So I didn't mean it in that sense, but what I do mean by it is just that acting has to be, if you would like to have a career in the business, that has to be your first priority. So you can have other jobs, you know, to pay the bills or what have you, but acting or directing or producing or whatever it is that you're trying to do should be the first priority. So that's where your energy goes. So all of these other things are just kind of to support what you really want to do so that you don't get sidetracked. So many people I see come out here and they get, you know, regular jobs, and somewhere along the lines, you know, obviously they're just paying the bills, but they're forgetting that they're using this job to get what they really want. And then all of a sudden, like, the job takes over and you find yourself 5 years later, like, wait a minute, what happened to what I came out here for? So that's kind of what I mean by that, and just making sure that I don't get sidetracked, which I haven't so far. So
well,
knock on wood that I won't.
You're absolutely right. A lot of people do that. I've known people who definitely have done that, and it makes them a little sad, and eventually it could possibly turn into you being bitter. What do you feel are some of the things that you can do to not let that happen to you if you do have to take a full-time job to support yourself? If you're not an heiress, what do you do when you have to go out and get a full-time job to pursue a career and pay for your headshots and your classes, et cetera, et cetera? Give us some tips and advice and stuff that we can do.
Well, I think first and foremost is, if it's at all possible, which I think it is most of the time, I'm going to say, is try to find a job that you can do to pay the bills that is not zapping all of your energy. Something that, you know, is kind of not mindless, but something that you're not going to, you know, finish an 8-hour day and you just feel like you ran like a 50-mile marathon. Because then you get home and you're so tired, you can't even think, let alone, you know, want to address headshots or write if you're a writer or things like that. So that's one of those things. And then
What type of jobs would that be, just off the top of your head?
That's a hard one. But I think, you know, a lot of people wait tables. That's pretty mindless. I not to say anybody's out
all
there
the
waiting tables.
Of America! Don't send me any emails.
Don't send any emails. I promise you, if you're waiting tables, I'm not saying it's mindless.
but we know what you mean. It's pretty straightforward. You have a job to do, you do it, and that's it. It doesn't require mathematical calculations. It doesn't require
exactly.
That's what you're saying. And waitress
exactly.
is good. Bartender, right?
Bartender, waitress. You can temp also, because you're going from job to job, so it's not like you're that invested in what you're doing. Just something that allows you to get off of work and still have energy to do what you're doing. And then even if you have a job that isn't exactly mindless, and you know that you want to be in this industry and have a career, sometimes, you know, you are tired and you still have to do it. You know, I mean, you just have to make sure that every day you're thinking about your career and thinking about things that you can do for your career. So I think it's really important.
A lot of people do ask me, they say, well, I don't want to be a waitress. I don't want to be a bartender. What else is there out there? What did you do? What type of job did you get?
Oh, I do all kinds. I do all kinds of things. I teach dance, so that's kind of, you know, been an interesting road for me as well to kind of make money. Also, what else do people do? Sometimes people do promotions. That's pretty painless. You know, you do modeling or promotions, or not even, you don't have to be a model, just, you know, passing out, you know, when you go somewhere, a concert or wherever, and you see people like passing out gum samples or something.
Right.
They actually make pretty good money.
A hot dog suit, you know, you can do display promotions in a supermarket. There are people who, what is that job where they market research? They have people that actually do cold calling for movie surveys. There are so many different things that you can do. You just have to kind of think outside the box. They have market research groups. Anything else that I'm leaving out? I mean, there's so many.
No, there's promotions, market research. I know people who have been dog walkers. If you get enough dogs, I guess you make a good money.
Great idea. And they have all kinds of wacko things that people do out here, so it is only limited to your imagination. They actually have a job where you can be a pooper scooper. It is an assistant to the person who's walking the dogs, because the person walks the dog, and then, of course, they have their dogs want to do their business. So there is a job where a friend of mine actually had this job. She goes with the dog walker and she carries a pooper scooper and scoops up the poop because, you know, you can get fined for leaving that in on the lawns where people can afford a dog walker. So that's a job. There are many, many jobs. So don't think that you just have to do the waitress and the bartender thing. As LaQuita said, you just have to think about what you can do and just kind of do word of mouth. So what did you do when you first came out here and they said, oh, my God, I got to get a job. What was the very first job you did?
My very first job I had was through a temp agency, actually. I didn't have it for very long, maybe a week or two, but I was working at a synagogue, actually, as a receptionist I don't even remember what it was. It wasn't really doing all that much, but just kind of like clerical office things. I think I did that for a couple of weeks.
You know, it's a great idea because most temp agencies, I used to be an executive recruiter back in the day, and that's when the programs were first getting started, where a lot of the temp agencies were teaching people. If people came in and we thought that they had potential, but they didn't have a lot of administrative skills, or if they wanted to change their career, we were offering teaching programs in how to do Word and Excel and just basic things. Well, today you can go into a temp agency and they are offering programs where you could actually learn. If you have the dedication, you can learn how to do administrative jobs. Correct, Cleary? They will actually teach you.
They will. I think so. Now the problem is just so, the job market is so tough now that unfortunately, you have so many people who are really experienced who are going into the temp agencies.
Right.
But I will say that there's jobs for everyone. So if you don't have like great skills at, you know, typing and you can't type really fast, then they have other things that you can do. Maybe they'll put you answering the phones or
exactly.
So there's just a lot of ways and things that you can do to get work. As obviously that was my first, the job actually came so quick. I didn't even want to work. I just wanted to have time off. And then they called me so quick. I'm like, they called me right after I signed up. Like, can I get a grace period here or what?
Well, they knew you were a winner. They knew it. They said, oh, I want to say one day that she worked at my company. They could see it coming. But yeah, so basically if you have administrative skills, any kind of administrative skills, and you want to dump that job and come out here, those skills can be put to use and you can just tell them, I am an aspiring actress. I want to do part-time work. Put me to work. But it's best to be honest with them when you go to these agencies, because they know most likely that you're probably in the entertainment business if you want to work part-time. So it's best to be honest. Don't try to tell them that, oh, no, I want to be a full-time receptionist. It's my life career. I live and breathe for answering the phone. No, they're not even going to think about that. So that's fantastic. We got a couple jobs out of you to tell you how to help with the career. Now, we definitely shared a thought about LA being an adjustment, because both you and I were surprised at how big and spread out the city was and how much time you actually spend in your car. So I know that it is a struggle. I want everybody to know that when you move out here, if you come from a small town, it is going to be an adjustment. You're going to be surprised. And it is – so you better have gas money. You better save up for gas money. I would say put a lot of money for car maintenance and gas, because it is a struggle to find steady work, and you do have to go from place to place to place to place. And if you come out here without an agent, oh my God, you're gonna have a hard time. Even with an agent, it was a struggle. Now, you came out here, you had an agent. How did you get that agent before you came out here, and what kind of agent was it?
Well, I didn't actually in LA. I did in Chicago, but when I came to when I first moved to LA, I found my agent when I got here.
Okay.
So, I found my agent when I got here. So, that was kind of, you know, the first, I've learned a lot. Let me just say that since I've moved here, because my first agents that I got in LA was from, you know, just sending, you know, you go get the agent book and then you send to the agents from the book. And that was how I got my first agents. And then I started realizing that the agents that I got from either doing something or from referrals were a little bit better. But it's a great place to start. I feel like you can get agents if you can get, maybe start off getting a commercial agent and then getting some work there, or at least getting a lot of good auditions and callbacks, and then you're kind of on the agent's radar is what usually happens.
Right. And a lot of ways that you can do that is there is a store that is pretty much for the acting world. It is called Samuel French, and you can go there, or you can, they're online. I believe it's samuelfrench.com, and they have for purchase, they have casting director books, casting agent, talent managers. So you can get that in advance and kind of at least have an idea, and also get Backstage West. You get every magazine that you can possibly think of where you can learn a little bit about the business too, because there are agents and Laquita, I don't know if you ran into these people, but there are a lot of people out here who call themselves an agent and they're scam artists or con men, and they're not agents. And if you don't know any better, it's almost like they sit there and wait for people to get off the Greyhound bus. But they will tell you things like, oh, I can get you a job, but you know what? These headshots are terrible. You're going to have to go meet my friend John Smith, and he's going to do some headshots for you. And what they're doing is they're actually getting what's called a kickback or payola. So an agent should never really ever recommend a photographer. They can tell you, you know what, I don't really like these headshots. It's really good for you to ask them why. And then they can say, we don't really like them. Can you bring some back? And this is what I want to focus on. But if they start saying, well, you know, I've got my friend John and this, be cautious of that. Most likely it is a little bit of a scam. Also, you never pay an agent to get you work. Never, ever, ever, ever. That's not how it works. So when you came out here, did you find that you ran into any kind of seedy agents or people, talent managers or anything like that, that you can give us some tips on how to
work? Well, actually, I was pretty fortunate in that respect. I never ran into any agents or managers who were complete scams. Luckily, I came from Chicago, so I already kind of had a clue when I got here versus like a lot of people I feel like who come from maybe really small town and they don't really know how everything works. Mm-hmm. They kind of prey on those people. But I knew from Chicago, just having an agent and everything there, that if they would ask me for money or things like that, that I would kind of, that would be definitely a red flag. But I've definitely seen so many things. I mean, so many listings, advertising, even just agents advertising. It's like they're not going to advertise for you to come into their agency. It's such a red flag to look out for.
Exactly. Top agencies do not advertise for you to come in. They don't need you. You need them. They don't need you. So that's a big flag right there. Now, let's talk about headshots. What are your tips to pick a photographer to get the best headshots? And why don't you tell us how a person finds out what their brand is? A lot of people go and they say, oh, $150 for headshots. Woohoo! I can afford that. And they go in and, you know, I'm not saying that people who shoot headshots for $150 are bad photographers, but they may not give you what you need to bring out in your photo. And they may not be willing to say, oh, well, you need to really brand yourself. And they may not take that extra care that a lot of photographers who are a little bit more reputable may do. So tell us a little bit about headshots and how someone finds their branding, how important that is, and what you need to do for commercial. How should you look for commercial shots versus theatrical?
Well, I think the most important thing for a photographer is just finding somebody who you're comfortable with. because just if you're really comfortable with them and you just feel comfortable in them shooting you, then you're going to be more open in the shoot. So they're going to get more of your essence versus if you're kind of really rigid and you're nervous. So that's always the way I pick photographers, is finding somebody who I like and who I think, of course you look at their work, but once I look at their work and say, okay, this is pretty good, I want somebody that I like, that I can feel comfortable around, that I can just be myself. So that's very important. As far as branding and your image and your brand, that's really such a tough thing, because people just go back and forth. And I've gone back and forth even myself so many times of just what my image is and what I'm selling and what is my brand. I know for one thing, me at my acting class and things like that have been very helpful. And also talking to people, seeing what you get called in for. If you're always, you know, getting called in for the best friend, but then you're just insisting that you're the drop-dead model, like, drop-dead gorgeous model, it's like, you know, but nobody ever sees you as that, maybe you should kind of look into that and kind of take a hint.
Yeah, because a lot of people, I know that you had said that early in your career you played a mean sorority girl in one gig, and then that led to nothing but similar character offers for a while.
Yes.
And you started thinking, you were like, are these people trying to tell me something, is what you said. You know, because you got to think, oh, were they seeing me? Is that what I physically display, or is that how I act? So tell me about that, how one can get typecast based on the physical appearance.
Well, for a while, yeah, for me, it was, I was getting a lot of like really bitchy roles. And I realized after the first time, of course, you know, the look that you have and the headshot that you're sending in to, or the casting is very important in kind of determining how they see you, but also just how you act. After I had gotten one role as, you know, a bitchy sorority girl, I would go in for these roles, and boy, did I have this bitchy part down. And that's why I guess that I was getting, I guess I was just really bringing that one home, because every time I would go, they were like, oh, yeah, let's use her for this, which is really kind of funny. But I think you just really have to be careful in what you're putting out there also, because what you're putting out there sometimes, a lot of times, is what you're going to get, especially early on in your career. So if you don't want to play a certain role, then think about that in marketing yourself, and think about that in the headshots you get as well. I think it's very important.
Absolutely. If you don't want to play a biker, don't wear leather. If you want to play a dad, don't wear leather. If you want to bring out your dominatrix, go in there dressed like a dominatrix. You the headshots have to, because the casting people are going to look first at the headshot before they flip that photograph over. They're going to look at the headshot. It is first, you have to look the part. You have to look the part for the most part. That's not always true, because they can completely rewrite the role if they really love your acting. So that's a whole different topic. Now, the juggling challenges, you said that you were having a blast following your dream. What did you do to turn what obviously was a big surprise about how you would survive out here into this seemingly blissful state that you are in now in regards to your career?
Well, one thing I think is I changed my attitude drastically. I used to walk around just with this attitude of like, when am I going to get a call? Okay, I hope my agent calls me. Then you go to an audition and you're like, oh, I hope they pick me. I really hope. It's all of this, I hope you do this, I hope you do that. And now I've kind of changed it. I go into an audition and I'm going to give a good performance. I'm going to bring what I can to that role at that particular moment in time. And then the icing on the cake is, you know, getting the job. Of course, everybody, you know, wants a job. If anybody can hire me out there, feel free to go to my website, of course.
But, wait, wait, no, I mean,
But it's just, you just don't have this, I don't have this desperation. I really realize I'm at a point in my career where I really know about my career. I really know that I will be successful. And so I'm able to go into a meeting. For example, even with an agent, I would cut, when I first moved here, I would go into a meeting with an agent and it was like, you know, oh, if they don't pick me, is this going to be the end of my life? No, it's not going to be the end of your life. You want them to also realize why they should pick you, not just you going in with this desperation. So now I go into meetings and I know that I have something to offer. So if they don't see that, then maybe that's not the best agent for me.
Right. Exactly.
And so it's just all change, you know, it's like, if they don't see what I have to offer, you know, it's like going on a date. You don't go on a date and sit across from them and you're like, oh, please pick me. Please pick me. I hope he thinks I'm cute.
There are actually people who do that. They're called.
And that's horrible. And you're sitting there, oh, I hope, you know, but if you really are thinking about it, hopefully you have a little more sense of that and you're watching and
right.
you're thinking, maybe do I like him?
Yeah.
Do I think he's cute? Do I want to go on a second date? Not
exactly.
just like, please, 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 me, yeah. me.
You got to change your perspective and think, hey, are they good enough for me? Are they a match for me? Do I feel that I want to participate in this activity, whatever it may be? Don't you are beholden to anyone. And that confidence is what's going to really be portrayed in everything that you do. And people are going to go, hey, she doesn't smell of desperation. I want to work with her. Because tell them, LaQuerie, these people can smell desperation, right?
I think it just comes off of you walk in the room and you're thinking, oh man, I need this so I can pay my rent. And they're like, nah, next.
You're
like, but I need to pay my rent.
Nobody wants somebody that appears desperate, and that is in any aspect of your life. No one wants desperation. Oh, God, that's so sad, but it's true. So if you're desperate, you better be a good enough actor to hide it, because if you reek of it, you're history. So, yeah, I think that is really good advice. Now, let's talk about your newest film, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Suicide Dolls, premiered last year in June at the 14th annual Black American Film Festival in Miami. You know, you got to go from what we were just talking about. You come here, you're thinking, oh my God, how am I going to survive? How am I going to survive? Woo! Suicide Dolls is now at the 14th annual Black American Film Festival. How do you get there, LaQuerie? How did you do it? I think that what you did was you started, as I have complimented you on so many times before, you have pioneered your own path. If you're not getting calls as an actor, or if you feel, you know what, I'm getting calls, I'm happy, but I want to do something else. I want to expand. I want to create. You create your own production company like Miss LaQuerie Cleary did. And tell us all about how that led to you having Suicide Dolls premiere at the 14th Annual Black American Film Festival in Miami.
Well, I started my production company, and I'm always on the lookout for projects or concepts or things that I think that I can do that would really just make a difference, or also just roles that I would like to play. And that's kind of how Suicide Dolls came about. I wanted to do a project, and I know two great writers who I actually met through another project. And this is basically how Suicide Dolls came about, was the writers wrote it, and I paired up with a, you know, great team of people to kind of help out with the project, producers, investors, everything like that. And the writers, it wasn't something that was already even written or anything. It was just one of those things where, you know a couple of good writers, and they came up with the concept and what would become Suicide Dolls. And I immediately loved it. When they came up with it, I immediately was like, oh, that's a great idea. And so we made it, and then just started the whole process. Making it is just like 10 or 20% of it. And it's like having a child, I suppose it would be. I don't have any children, but that never leaves you. It's like this film is just going on and on and on and on. It's like I wake up in the morning with something else to do for it, marketing and sending out DVDs. And that's kind of how the film festival came about, is you finish the film and then you're sent submitting to all of these film festivals. And then we happened to be in the American Black Film Festival in Miami, which I've been following that festival, and I've known about that festival for years. So I was super excited to be a part of the festival. And then also this year was, they've really narrowed down the selections, and there was only 8 feature films. So to be one of 8 was such an amazing experience.
Wow. Now, to be in, to actually get your film into the film festivals, I know that there are different rules and regulations and specifications, but overall, what exactly do you need to do, or what quality does your film have to be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to get into a film festival? Pretty much, if you want to submit, what would you recommend that a filmmaker do to get his film into the film festival, any film festival?
Well, I can tell you what to do to submit. I wish I could tell you what to do to get in, because then I would be one happy lady, because my film would be in pretty much every festival. So I wish I knew that much. But
what do you think happened that you were so successful in being one of 8 to get into that festival?
You know, I really don't know. I wish I did.
We got to find out and replicate that process.
I need to find out why it was. First of all, you know, it's filmmaking is so subjective. The programmers and the committee and everybody at that film festival happened to really like our film. It's, you know, I feel like it's a very important topic that needs to kind of be brought into the forefront, but many festivals and people in general don't want to touch the film because
of the subject matter. Tell us a little bit about what the film is about. Tell us a little bit, just briefly, what the film is about.
The film is about 2 young girls who are filming their last 24 hours before they commit suicide. So, it's very heavy, and if people either are really embrace it, or it's one of those things that you kind of just want to sweep the topic under the rug. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's been the interesting thing, even just about our festival run. Some festivals really embrace it, and in some ways I really think the topic has hurt us on the festival circuit.
Wow.
Because it's such serious subject matter that I think some festivals are like, okay, great, and some festivals I think are like, maybe we shouldn't touch this one. Depending on, also, you have to do your research on film festivals as well, which is something that I've learned even more of moving forward, not to just submit to all the festivals. You're submitting to certain festivals based on certain things. So if you know you have a film about suicide, you know, I'm not going to submit to certain festivals that are maybe more strict, or, you know, even if it's a religious film festival and I have a film that people are committing suicide, maybe it's
right.
Not the best match. So you just do your research all the way around, which is, I feel, is really important, which is what I tried to do. Not so much even in the beginning. It's just all a learning curve and a work in progress. But now I've really realized, okay, even maybe if I had it to do all over again, I would have focused energy differently and not submitted to some that I submitted to, and kind of things like that.
But you really felt strongly about that movie, and you wanted to help raise awareness about a topic that's not often discussed. And I think pushing ahead and just submitting it, if it were me, I'd submit it to every festival. You don't like it? Hey, well, who knows? Somebody might say, you know, we have not been doing this type of, we have not been accepting this type of film. I think it's time. So you never know. But that's a topic that should not be swept under the carpet, because suicide is on the rise, and it is a topic that you definitely need to bring out to the open, and parents need to discuss with their children. I think that it's something that should be discussed just as if you were telling your children about the birds and bees, because there are so many teenage suicides now, which is a real tragedy.
And it is on the rise right now. It's really tragic, but right now it's really,
it's really bad.
Suicide is really,
especially with the bad badgering that students have to go through and how they're bullied. And, oh, it's just so many things. And I think kids have just gotten mean, just mean spirit. When I hear about the stuff that's going on today in schools, that did not happen where I came from. I mean, I'm just amazed. But because of this, children may not know how to deal with topics. So I think that that is just such an important thing. And I hope you push forward. And I hope that people have the ability to see what you're trying to get out there. So good luck with that. Now, you have some other projects going on. Tell us about your new projects that you have happening here. You've got some upcoming films in development, Circle of Greed and Fragment, An Incomplete Part. Tell us about those.
Well, I'm really excited about both of them, actually. Fragment, An Incomplete Part, is a project that I'm doing, which also I feel like it's a heavy project. And it's about a young mother, basically, who confronts a man who's in prison for killing her son. And it's just kind of an intimate look at, you know, how people deal with tragedy, something that happens a lot that people don't necessarily discuss. And if you were in front of somebody who killed a loved one, how would you react? What would you say? What would you do? So it kind of addresses that. And we also have a Facebook page for Fragment and Incomplete Parts. So feel free to friend us on Facebook and you'll get all of the updates and everything like that. Suicide Dolls also has a Facebook page, and we've been putting everything on there because we're actually planning to go with the LA premiere and screening, we're planning a big party. So it would be great if everybody came out. There'll be a party.
Well, when and where? Tell us when and where, Laquita. We're there. When and where?
Well, it's going to coincide with the festival, which we don't. The festival is taking place February 16th through the 23rd, but we don't have the exact date of our screening time yet. So we're going to post it on Facebook because it will coincide. You know, if we get our screenings on the 16th, for example, then the party will be planned around whatever slots that the festival gives us.
So we don't know where the party is yet, right?
No, because we're going to find that out. Yeah, we don't know. We haven't decided yet, but it will sure to be an amazing, fun place. One of the writers, Carissa, is actually really great at picking cool looking places out. So I'm excited. Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to be a fun chance for everybody to hang out and for us to, you know, not only see the film, but everybody to hang out, cast, crew, the public, everyone. So
this must be
I'm
a great
super
time.
Excited about that.
Can anybody come?
anybody can come. Pretty much anybody can come. It's weird to say anybody because you just never know.
Yeah, because we don't play. Show up. Well,
so
I mean,
to say pretty much anybody.
Well, are you doing how would people get invited is pretty much, how would we find out more about how to get invited to that?
I think the best thing is to friend, I guess you don't friend it, you put like, so this Facebook thing, I'm trying to just keep it all straight, but if you go to Facebook and look at our page, which is Suicide Dolls, and you can see our page, Suicide Dolls, you'll see the movie page. And if you press like, then you'll be basically a friend of the page, and then all of our updates you can see, and we'll be posting. So people who don't even necessarily, so you don't have to be my best friend, in other words, to get invited to the party. We'll put updates on there and invitation details and how you can come to the party will all be on that. So if you can just look our Facebook page up, that would be a great way to keep in contact for the movie.
And what about Facebook? You have a separate Facebook page for Fragment and Circle Greed, or?
Greed does not have a Facebook page yet. But yeah, that's another project that we're developing, that I'm developing this year. So I'm really excited about Circle Greed. It's a drama. It's like a dramatic thriller. So that should be really fun. That doesn't have a Facebook yet, but Fragment, An Incomplete Part, has a Facebook. And then also I'm on Facebook, Laquita Clear, and also Twitter, Laquita Clear. So you can follow me that way. I pretty much try to update as much as I can. And now I'm just starting to get into the whole Twitter thing. So
I know, me too.
I'm trying to put as many updates as possible.
First of all, I have to do like a major apology. I have been calling you Laquita Cleary like forever, and I understand it's clear, as I just found out a second ago. I apologize.
Yes.
I don't know why I was saying Cleary. I have no idea.
Everybody says that because there's an E on the end, so you're not alone. Trust
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Well, Laquita, our time has come to an end. Can you believe it? It seems like just 5 minutes ago we got started, and now we have to do the whole Cal Burnett shaking of the ear thing, and we've got to say goodbye. But I wanted to tell you thank you so much. You are such an inspiration to so many people. I think that people need to go to your website, LaquitaClear.com, and also your Facebook page so that they can keep up with all of the projects that you're doing.
And my Twitter,
and
too, my new Twitter.
Twitter, Laquita Clear, your name? So click.
Yes.
Okay. And if you want to check out her company, it's Salsera Productions, S-A-L-S-E-R-A Productions.com, or go to SuicideDollsTheMovie.com or SecretFridays.tv. She's covered. She's paying a fortune in website domain fees.
Yes, please go to them.
Check them out. Thank you so much, Laquita.
Thank you.
Say that name five times. I challenge you. I'm going to have a contest. Laquita Clear, five times. I'm going to pay you to say that. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
And please let us know a little closer so we can advertise all of the stuff that you have happening.
Thank you for having me.
Bye, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.